Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank thee for the holy word of God and for the blessed Spirit of Christ who gave it. And we pray, Lord, that this same Spirit will illumine our minds and hearts and write thy words there for our comfort and faith and for thy glory. Through Christ our Lord and for his sake. Amen. In the last chapter, which we saw last week, the apostle's theme was that sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, but under grace. And I explained before that everybody is under the law as a rule of life, Ten Commandments, but you're not under the law as a way to heaven. It's not by personal obedience to the law that you merit your way to heaven. And furthermore, Paul points out that those who are under the law as their way to heaven can never get to heaven that way because the law simply shows them their sin. And in fact, it doesn't make them a good person because the law has no power to help them obey it. The law can't justify a sinner. The law can't sanctify a sinner. But Jesus can. So if you're in Christ, if you're under grace as your way to heaven, then you bring forth fruit unto God because of the Spirit of Christ working in and through you. Now, we can never obey, even after we're saved, the law perfectly enough to merit heaven, but that's okay. Christ merited heaven for us. Now, being free from the law would be a radical statement to Paul's Jewish hearers, Jewish Christians, because to the Jews, religion was all about law. Not only the Ten Commandments, but the Jewish ceremonial law. And in addition to the Jewish ceremonial law, the endless, endless additions of tradition. Now, you have to understand that tradition is not something like Thanksgiving is a tradition. Religious tradition is considered authoritative as the Bible. And the tradition of the elders, according to the Jews, was received first by Moses on Mount Sinai, but he didn't write this down. What he did was he conveyed it orally to Joshua. And Joshua conveyed it to the elders, and the elders to the prophets to the men of the great synagogue. Simon the Just, one of the last survivors of the great synagogue, delivered it to Antigonus. And after him it was delivered in turn to four successive pairs of scholars, generation after generation. And after them, it was received by Hillel and Shammai, founders of the two great rabbinical schools that were present at the time of Christ. You remember what Jesus said? You've made void the law of God by your traditions. That's what he was talking about. These were considered law. Just like, remember Peter said, in the house of Cornelius, it's not lawful for me, a Gentile, to be with you. I would be a Jew being with you Gentiles, but the Lord has shown me not to call any man unclean. What does he mean it's not lawful? The Bible never said that. It's not lawful according to the law of the tradition of the elders. So the Jews were all about law as the way to heaven, and this is why the apostle needs to make clear that the law was never a way to heaven, and neither can it be. Heaven is a gift you must receive from Christ or not have it at all. You can't earn it. In the last chapter, St. Paul illustrated this principle that you're not under the dominion of sin, you're under grace. He illustrated that principle by the analogy of the slave market. Sin was our slave master. But how can you be free from this master? Well, if you died, that master couldn't have dominion over you. And we died in Christ, legally. He was our representative when he died on the cross. Furthermore, if you become the property of another master, the old master has no authority over you. And so we became the property of Christ. It says you're bought with a price. You're bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus. So you're dead to sin, and you're a slave, a love bond servant of Christ. So sin doesn't have dominion over you. Jesus does. You're in grace. Now today, the apostle uses a different analogy. This time it's the analogy of marriage. You're free from the law because you and the Christian church are married to Christ. He's going to develop that. The church is his mystical body and his bride, and you are in union. Don't we call marriage the marriage union? You're in union with Christ. And Paul likens that to a perpetual marriage. Now let's begin with verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now what he's getting at, it doesn't have dominion over you if you die. It has dominion over you as long as you live. And what law is he talking about? Well, Adam was made under the law as a covenant of works. He was made under the law as a covenant that said he was obliged to fulfill it perfectly or be damned. And all of his children except for Christ have been born under the covenant of works. You are required personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience to everything in the law all your life or be damned. But suppose your life ends in Christ and you rise with Christ. That's what Paul is getting at here. Now, we've broken this covenant of works, of course. We're condemned as long as that covenant has dominion over us. That's why the apostle begins his argument by saying, the law has dominion over you as long as you live, and he gives the example of marriage. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Now I should point out here that Scripture has more to say about marriage and divorce than what you find in this one text. In the Sermon on the Mount, for example, Jesus tells us that adultery or fornication is grounds for divorce. Now, the Jews taught, based on the text in Deuteronomy that says, if a husband finds in his wife some uncleanness, he may give her a bill of divorcement. What that meant was sexual immorality. That's the uncleanness the text was talking about. But the Jews interpreted that, the Pharisees, as burning the toast or anything at all you don't like about her. You use that text, and that's why your disciples said to Jesus, is it true we can divorce our wife for any reason? That's what the Pharisees taught. And Jesus took them back to this. See what he's doing in the Sermon on the Mount. He's showing them what Deuteronomy meant. It's sexual immorality that's grounds for divorce. Specifically, adultery, of course, in this case. I was asked once when I was an army chaplain to soldier asked me to marry him to his fiancée. And I said, what's your background? Have you or she ever been married? He says, yes, I'm divorced. I said, well, what was the grounds for your divorce? He says, we were incompatible. That's considered grounds for divorce, not in the Bible. I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't consider that a biblical grounds for divorce. I can't perform this marriage. He said, well, maybe I should explain why we were incompatible. He says, she was having an affair with a Scottish Army officer. So I said, well, that's different. In that case, that's a valid ground for divorce. And then, of course, in addition, St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that willful desertion is also grounds for divorce. But barring these two conditions, marriage is for life. The law of marriage is till death do us part. By the way, we don't part at death. Death parts us. It's passive. If you know your grammar. Death parts us. Till death parts us. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. The dominion of the law of marriage is such that as long as both partners are alive, they are under that law. And if a woman should leave her husband and be married to another while under that law, she would have committed adultery. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law. She's not under its dominion anymore. She's free to marry another. And now he applies that principle to your relationship to the law as a covenant of works. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The woman whose husband dies is free to marry another. You became dead to the law by the body of Christ, meaning by the death of Christ. Scripture says over and over again that Christians who trust Christ for their salvation have legally died in his death on the cross. Remember, Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's what Paul is saying here. So Christ died as your representative and his death is legally yours. That breaks the law of marriage, the dominion of the covenant of works that you are under, because death causes that law to cease. Just like the death of a husband causes the law of marriage to cease. Now, it's important to notice that Paul doesn't say you're free from the law because it's no longer binding. It's no longer important. It's been replaced by the law of love and such nonsense you hear. He doesn't say that Jesus got rid of the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. He did everything that it requires. Law requires a perfect life. He relived a perfect life. The law requires an atoning death. He died an atoning death. Jesus said, I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And that's what he did. Well, he not only died for our sins, but he rose for our justification. And when he rose, you and I legally rose to a new life in Christ. Now, he rises never to die again. And that means that being married to Christ is a marriage that will never end. Death cannot interrupt it, including yours. Your death is only your entrance into glory. To depart and be with Christ is far better. But while on earth, Paul says, now in this relationship, married to Christ, you bring forth fruit unto God, the fruit of the good works which he has foreordained that ye should walk in them. So there's an interesting paradox that I mentioned before. Those who were under the law, striving by their good works to earn heaven, actually can only bring forth sin, because the law is causing them to heap up sin after sin. It's just revealing their guilt. But those who are under grace, because they're married to Christ, have the Holy Spirit working in them both to will and to do of his good pleasure, bringing forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Being married to the law as the way to heaven just means that such a person is only going to produce sin. Those in the flesh. Now, Paul doesn't mean in a physical body. We're all in the flesh in that sense. But this is in the ethical sense. Those in the old nature, those in the corrupted, depraved nature we were born with, those who haven't been born again with a new nature, can bring forth only fruit unto sin. But being in union with Christ heals natural depravity. One of my favorite texts is, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the old nature brings forth fruit unto sin, and the new nature fruit unto God. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now I have to do some textual analysis here, because the way this is translated contradicts everything Paul has said so far. He says, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held. He's saying the law is dead. That's why we're delivered from it. But that's not what he says in the rest of this passage. He never says the law is dead. He says you're dead. You died with Christ. You rose with Christ. He never says the law is dead. So how can this be? Well, if you have a King James Bible that has marginal notes, those notes were written by the translators of the King James Bible. In some texts, they realized they weren't quite sure which way it could be translated, and so they give you an alternate reading in the margin. In this case, as in some others in the Bible, I believe, as most Reformed scholars do, that the alternate reading is the correct one, because it makes us dead and not the law. And here's what the King James translators said, how this could be translated in an alternate way. Instead of that being dead wherein we were held, it could be translated being dead to that wherein we were held. We being dead to that wherein we were held, to the law. We are dead to the law. Not that the law is dead to us. It never says the law died, it says we did. You're delivered from the law because you were dead to that old husband who held you under his dominion. and free to marry another, even Christ. And now the result is you can serve God not in the old outward way of the letter, but in the Spirit of Christ, from the heart. Now you're not saved by what you do. You're saved by what has been done for you by Christ. So in conclusion, Paul's teaching is this. You were born under the covenant of works without the ability ever to fulfill it. That covenant binds you as long as you live. But if you die in Christ, you're free from that law. And you could be married to another. You legally died with Christ. That freed you from that law. And since you were crucified with Christ, you were also raised from the dead with him. You're now married forever to Christ in a marriage that death cannot annul. Christ lives forever. Your marriage to Christ will last forever. All glory to him. Amen. O Lord, how joyful is the message of salvation, free salvation, graceful salvation, the gift of salvation. And that we who are bound by this law have been freed from it by the death of Christ, by our death with him, raised with him to newness of life, married forever to Jesus. Amen.